back to The One Where I Met Your Mother, a podcast about friends and how I met your mother. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
How are you, Natalie?
I'm good.
All right. Well, then let's just get into the episode.
No,
top of the show banter.
Yeah, what do we have to banter about?
I don't know.
We're recording on a Friday night.
That's how cool we are that we're at home recording on a Friday night.
We have to wake up kind of early.
Yeah, because we're doing fun stuff this weekend. So. So we're doing this on Friday night. This is not a podcast about our weekend plans, though.
No, but it's been... So normally, or the past few episodes, we've been complaining about the rain and the gloominess.
Oh my God,
it's
beautiful.
Yeah, like 75 degrees.
It's gorgeous
and sunny.
Today. Yeah.
And beautiful. And now it's kind of cool, but it's not, you know, freezing cold. So we enjoy that.
Yeah. Spring has almost sprung, but...
Not
it's
really.
Going to rain again.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This is not a podcast about the weather or about our weekend plans. This is a podcast about Friends and How I Met Your Mother. We watch an episode of each every week and we recap and compare, contrast. We have fun little segments that we do. Right now, we are on season 6, episode 22 of both shows. Season 6, episode 22 of Friends is called The One Where Paul's the Man. And season 6, episode 22 of How I Met Your Mother is called The Perfect Cocktail. We're going to put a pin in The Perfect Cocktail. That's probably not...
advisable.
Yeah, the recipe for The Perfect Cocktail does not include a pin.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What is your favorite cocktail?
I love a extra dirty martini.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. That's probably my favorite.
I go through phases. I feel like I've really been... honestly, my go-to is just like a whiskey soda because it's like simple.
Yeah.
But if we're at like a bar, like a mixologist type of bar, I've been in a Manhattan mood lately. Mm-hmm.
Those are fun.
Yeah, I like a Manhattan. I also, there's a restaurant here in Los Angeles called Mirate that's a kind of somewhat upscale Mexican place, and I went there for brunch a while back. And I had a breakfast Negroni, which basically just a Negroni with some cold brew. And it was delicious.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
The other night, well, a few weeks ago, I went to the Dresden, which is a local favorite cocktail bar and restaurant.
If anyone listening has seen Swingers, that's...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I knew the Dresden before I ever moved here because of Swingers.
Yeah. Very old establishment. And it still has a lot of its old-timey charm.
Yeah.
Usually, there's always musical, like jazz performers on weekends. It used to be Marty and Elaine.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Marty. Yeah. Who were kind of like a fixture at this place. But they have a martini that's gin and vodka.
Okay.
And it's really good.
Oh, yeah.
There's obviously vermouth. I forget what it's called, but it's...
Yeah.
Really, I didn't think I was going to like it, and I really did.
Well, we'll get more into cocktails when we get to How I Met Your Mother. I mean, we even talk about martinis. But like I said, we're putting a pin in The Perfect Cocktail, and we are going to start with Season 6, Episode 22 of Friends, The One Where Paul is the Man. I apologize in advance. My head is killing me.
What, you have some...
I just took some.
Oh, you did.
I have a splitting headache. I don't know what it is. All right, so we started the perk, so everybody do a shot of espresso. Phoebe got, from one of her massage clients, got tickets to an exhibit at a museum. But she only got 3. So the lady's going to go. Joey and Chandler immediately back out because boys don't like museums, I guess.
But like Ross obviously does.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe Ross doesn't like art.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, they're going to go. But Ross doesn't care about that because he's excited because he and Elizabeth are going on their first weekend trip out of town as a couple. They continue to make fun of how young Elizabeth is, rightly. Monica says, you're going to make a lot of money all those hours babysitting or whatever. No, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But I brought it up because Ross then tries to turn the tables on Rachel because, like, she's dating Paul and he's older than she is.
Do you think he's older than the, do you think the age gap is bigger for Ross and Elizabeth or for Rachel and Paul?
I think it's close, but I think for Rachel and Paul it's big. I think it's for Ross and Elizabeth it's like 10 years. For Rachel and Paul it's like 15.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. So he tries to make fun of Paul, but it's not, no one cares because that sort of age gap relationship is more normalized, I guess. Mm-hmm. But then Paul walks in, hears Ross making fun of him, but that's not how he came. He came to forbid Ross from seeing Elizabeth again. And he's told Elizabeth the same thing. And he tells Ross that he's going to call the museum and get him fired if he continues to date his daughter. Meanwhile, Joey wants to get his picture up at the dry cleaners because he used to have his picture at the dry cleaners back when he was on Days of Our Lives. Then he got fired. The dry cleaners took down the picture.
Yeah.
And now now that he's got a new show coming out, he wants it back up. I wonder if we have New Yorker listeners, because it does feel like, the dry cleaner thing comes up a lot.
Well, it's also stolen from Seinfeld.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because here in Los Angeles, you get headshots at all sorts of establishments.
Yeah.
You know? I think we've talked about the long gone Burbank Taco Bell across the street from Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
We did talk about this because it was like almost exclusively child actor pictures. And you pointed out it's because it was just up the street from, it's called Ava. Now, what do you speak called? The Oakwood Apartments, which is like where child actors and their families would come and stay while they looked for work. That's not a Taco Bell anymore. Now it's a Doghouse. Doghouse is a nationwide chain, right? Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. I've only been once, but I liked it.
Okay. I guess that's a call to action. Is Doghouse a nationwide chain?
Well, you know what's funny? So the dry cleaner is played by someone named Ilya Volok.
Okay.
So he's actually Russian.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been in General Hospital, Young and the Restless.
Oh, wow.
So he's also a soap.
Yeah, soap connection soap there.
Star.
There's a part of this. Phoebe comes with him to the dry cleaner, and one of the celebrities who does have his headshot on the wall is Matt Lauer, and Phoebe is like fawning over Matt Lauer, and it's all very uncomfortable now. But the guy at the dry cleaner doesn't even remember Joey from when his picture was up before, and is like, I haven't seen the show. The show isn't out yet. So he says no. Let's see. They're at the museum, the three ladies, and they're going to have lunch. It's funny, they go to this exhibit, and they're like, what do you want to go first? Gift shop? Lunch? Like, they don't want to look at the art at all.
Yeah.
They're going to go have lunch, but Rachel's like, I can't eat too much. I'm going out to dinner tonight with Paul. He says he has a big surprise for me.
Right.
Okay? And then they hear a sort of, I don't know, tour guide, docent, whatever you would call her.
Did you recognize
that? Yeah, her name is Maren Dungey. She was on Alias.
Okay.
But you know her much more recently as Lieutenant Jeffords' wife on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes.
Cheryl Jeffords, I think was her name.
Yes.
Cheryl, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Alias fans know her well. She was on Alias. She's great. She was also in You're the Worst. I think she was when Lindsay's boss, who was like a high-powered lesbian boss, what was her name?
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. I don't remember her boss's name.
Yeah, but you remember the storyline when she works like a fashion house, something? I can't remember what the place was, the on Near the Worst, but that's only a few episodes.
She was also in Big Little Lies, which I
didn't watch that. Okay, yeah.
And
yeah.
I read the book.
So it's Maren Dungey. She's great. She's giving a little tour and talking about, or I guess there's going to be a wedding at this space, and she's like setting it up,
doing like the walkthrough with this.
Yes, exactly.
Couple.
They find out there's a 2-year waiting list, and they all kind of like talk each other into like, let's put our names.
Yeah, even like, if just we aren't case. Like getting like, maybe married in 2 years, like we so could always just cancel it.
But like, My first thought was like, wouldn't you have to put like a deposit down or something?
You can't just like put a date in.
Yeah, so they put their names on the waiting list. So Joey brought the Russian dry cleaner a tape of an episode, which is like, I don't know, I guess this is like, this is 2000, like this is like pretty really like being paranoid about internet and piracy, but like the idea of the idea today of an actor bringing like a disc or something of an episode of a show that they're on that hasn't aired yet and just giving it to a dry cleaner, that would be like, you can't do that. Everything's watermarked. Everything's like...
Yeah, but no one really cares about that.
No, the studios absolutely care about that.
Yeah.
I know because I just had to do an entire security training about it at my job. Anyway. So, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, like, we're not supposed to, like... like, every movie at my work has a code name or a safety title or, you know, something like that. It has a different title. And they always say, like, never reference the actual title and the security title in the same email chain, which I try not to do. People do it all the time.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, it's like so frustrating. It's like, are we calling it this or are we calling it this? Yeah. Sorry, I can't say any of the names of the movies because I don't say where I work on the internet. Anyway, where was I? Anyway, so the Russian dry cleaner was offended because I guess the bad guys and the pilot are Russian terrorists and he says it's bad for Russians. Ross and Elizabeth get to the cabin and they start making out, but Ross forgot condoms, so Elizabeth says she's going to run to the store and get condoms. Ross should get into the hot tub, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Ross starts disrobing, just another reminder that David Schwimmer is like...
I was just going to say, if in case you forget that Ross has a nice bod...
Yeah, it's just like one of those TV things of like, oh, right, sure, this like... college archaeology professor is like ripped.
Yeah,
like,
but yeah, Ross
totally yoked.
Ross looks great.
Yeah, he looks fantastic.
We see him in like a tank top and his boxer shorts.
Yeah,
not bad.
So he's in good shape. But then Rachel and Paul show up. Who would have guessed?
Who would have guessed
that Paul's big surprise was taking Rachel to the same cabin? I guess I should have mentioned it was a family cabin. Elizabeth's family, Paul's family. Anyway. Meanwhile, back at home, Chandler is screening phone calls and he hears a voicemail from, I'm guessing from Maren Dungey, from her character, Hildy, about the an opening, you know, we had a cancellation, so if you want to do the Bing Geller wedding or Geller Bing wedding or whatever, and so he kind of flips out. Back at the cabin, Ross is now hiding under the couch while Paul and Rachel are getting lovey-dovey on the couch, and luckily Rachel drops a grape and picks it up and sees Ross, so she like immediately is like on his side and tries to cover for him, which is fun. Blah, blah, blah. So she sends Paul like out of the room, and Ross runs into a bedroom, and then Elizabeth comes home and Rachel continues to cover for Elizabeth and help her get out. Then Monica comes to their apartment and Chandler's acting weird and he leaves right away, and then she realizes what happened and she flips out. I was kind of annoyed by this storyline, but then I really really liked where it ended, so we'll get there. It's speaking of seeing things coming. Did I say I see things coming? Yes, I saw the Paul and Rachel at the cabin. Speaking of seeing things coming, Joey goes back to the dry cleaner and it's a different employee. It's a woman. And she says, I can help you get your thing on the wall. And like clearly like they're flirting with each other.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be like, I didn't even realize until the later scene that it's supposed to be revealed that that's the dry cleaner's wife. I just assumed it was the dry cleaner's wife because, like, dry cleaners are almost exclusively like family
affairs,
organization. So I just assumed that it was the dry cleaner's wife, who is a dry cleaner herself. So they're apparently they go out. We don't see, but they go out. So then Rachel finds out that the bedroom that Ross ran into is Paul's bedroom, and so she continues to cover them for them. She sends Paul out to the car to get something, and she like goes upstairs with Elizabeth, and so Ross can like get out. Blah, blah, blah. But Paul goes into the bedroom first to put his luggage away, and Ross hides under the bed. We'll get to him getting under the bed in funniest moments, but he hides under the bed, and Paul gives himself I think a very humanizing, vulnerable, endearing, relatable pep talk in the mirror, where he says, "She likes you because you're a neat guy." And then it gets more and more ridiculous. So he's like, he's a love machine and he's flexing his muscles. It would be embarrassing if anyone saw it.
Yeah.
But he doesn't think anyone saw it.
Yeah.
But it did. Ross is under the bed and sees the whole thing. So Monica comes to the perk to look for Chandler. This is a very quick scene. I'm not even really sure why it's in there. This scene where she just comes to the perk and has a scene with Phoebe, but it does have the one joke. Because Monica's mad at Phoebe and does the impression of like, "What harm can it do? Just sign up." And Phoebe's like, "Rachel said that." She's like, "Well, Rachel's not here." And then she storms out. That's the entirity of that scene.
Well, I think
it doesn't give us any new information.
We're supposed to be shown that like Chandler has left and he's like nowhere to be found and she's worried. So she's looking everywhere for Chandler.
Okay. Starting at the perk.
Because we didn't have cell phones, so she can't just call him.
Yeah. He can't drop a pin.
Yeah.
Whatever. Where was I? I truly can't find
scene at the perk with Phoebe and Monica.
Oh, right. Yeah. And that's a brief scene. And then Joey goes back to the dry cleaner, and the dry cleaner's pissed at him, obviously. And he figures out why. Then Ross tries to sneak out the window and Paul catches him, but then Ross like reveals that he saw the whole pep talk.
Yeah.
And Paul's like, fine, you know, he's like, "Let me show you the guest room," or whatever. So he's not gonna try and get Ross fired. I don't know. I don't buy that Paul is that like easily embarrassed.
Yeah.
He seems like a very self-assured kind of guy.
Yeah.
But I guess a self-assured kind of guy wouldn't have been giving himself that pep talk. So maybe it's all an act. Mm-hmm. So I guess it does fit. So finally Chandler comes back to the apartment. Monica sort of calms him down. And then she leaves the room to go tell Joey, like, to stop looking for Chandler. Because, like, we found him. And then Phoebe comes out of the bedroom. Turns out it's a surprise that... Chandler told Phoebe about that he didn't like go flip out and run away. He went to look at the wedding space and he's planning to propose.
And also to talk to the event planner at the museum. Yeah. To say like, we want to keep this.
Yeah. Yeah. So
keep us on the wait list.
I wonder if that means that Maren Dungey is going to be like, I don't know. This episode of, or this premise of, like, and I think we've talked about this show before, Monica making the, like, reservation or getting on the waiting list and then Chandler hitting the phone call, I knew that happened.
Yeah.
I didn't know about this end. I didn't see it coming. I really liked it because I was all, like, ready to be, like, annoyed at Chandler for being, like, ridiculous and not understanding that it was just a you know Monica. But then I was like, oh, I love this.
But even in the conversation with her about it, like, it wasn't so much that he was, like, freaked out at the idea of marriage. It was just that Hildy and Rachel and Monica and Phoebe, everyone knew before he did that she wanted to marry him. Like, so that's kind of how he framed it.
Yeah, I see that. But it's very sweet. He's going to propose. I can't wait for it to happen. And there's a tag at the end where Joey comes into the perk to buy some coffee and realizes he never actually quit.
Yeah.
Gunther, like, tries to send him back to work. He's like, I don't work anymore. Yeah. But he never told Gunther that he quit.
Yeah.
And Gunther says, well, I thought I was going to fire you anyway. That's the whole episode. Do you have any stray observations before we move on to funniest moments?
No, we already talked about Ross having a great bod.
Yeah.
Stolen from Seinfeld, mm-hmm. The dry cleaners.
So, on to funniest moments. When the dry cleaner is complaining about the episode that he watched, he says, it was very offensive to my people. And there's like a long pause.
Yeah.
And Joey goes, dry cleaners?
Yeah. That was one of mine as well. You also got my my one about the father paying for babysitting.
Yeah.
So I'll go on to when Rachel and Paul like walk into the bedroom and he sees Ross and Rachel goes, "Oh my God, what in heaven's name are you doing here?"
When Ross and Elizabeth start getting amorous, she says, "Did you bring protection?" And he goes, "Why, are there bears or something?" Which yeah. then comes up later yes. where Rachel pretends she saw a bear and Paul's like, "There's no bears."
Is there actual bears?
But yeah. like...
You have a similar fear.
I did. I don't anymore. But I mean, like... Yeah, the first time you and I went and like stayed out in the desert, I was convinced that there were rattlesnakes and scorpions around every corner and every yeah. under every rock and every shadow that I was going to get bit. And yeah, when we went to like
Sequoia,
I was sure. Well, that one, I mean, that wasn't that irrational because the Airbnb literally said like, "We've had a bear lately, so like be careful." Right,
but every noise, you're like you didn't want to. Grill outside.
I was like, it's gonna bring the bears to run it.
Panic. Yeah.
Even though it had a big like security fence.
Yeah.
But like it just takes me like one weekend in Joshua Tree in the desert not getting bit by a rattlesnake, 1 weekend in Sequoia not getting eaten by a bear. Now I'm fine. I'm over it. Mm. I am.
I don't know about that.
I mean I am, I'm over it.
Okay.
Do you have any more? I have one more.
We already talked about it like when Gunther like, "Can you bring these two coffees over?" And he's like, "Did I forget to tell you I stopped working here?" It wasn't a hugely funny episode.
No, but there were some good laughs in here. My last one is when Paul walks into his room and Ross is hiding there. First, Ross is standing behind the door, but then Paul closes the door, so Ross is just like fully exposed, but Paul yeah. has his back to him, and Ross does this like he goes like liquidy almost yeah, and like slinks down to the floor and then crawls under the bed.
Yeah.
It's once again David Schwimmer good at physical comedy.
Yeah, he truly liquefies and yeah. falls to the ground.
Yeah.
What was the show that people actually did liquefy?
You mean well and she does an anomaly over and over again. Is that what you're thinking about? Did she like melts?
It was like an 80s No, yeah, I remember that. But I feel like it was, what was the one with Evie?
Out of This World?
Yeah.
Did she liquefy? Out of
This World? I think some people liquefied.
Okay. But this is a good episode, this episode is a good reminder that, like, we talk
Friends
a lot of shit
mothers.
About... Yeah. We talk a lot of shit about Ross, but we like David Schwimmer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't watch that reunion. Well, I guess we'll... If that's still on HBO Max... which isn't HBO Max anymore. We should watch it when we're done with all this.
Yeah.
Because you watched it, but I didn't watch it because it didn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like you said he comes across not well necessarily on
not
there.
Not great.
Yeah. I don't know. He does a lot of good in the world for like yeah. Anti-sex trafficking stuff. He's like an activist and puts his money into that.
Good.
So good for him. Okay. Yeah. TV show where people liquefy.
I want our friends and mothers to answer.
That's what I'm saying. I'm putting it on.
Oh,
our...
I thought you were Googling.
No, I don't do that on this show.
Okay.
Sorry. Because the friends and mothers are our Google.
Right. I think it was an 80s sitcom, and I think it was Out of This World, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. I think, okay, Out of This World has come up in this podcast before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I probably asked the same question before. When Evie stops time.
Yeah.
Does she continue to age? We have talked about this.
That's the question for the ages.
Yeah. Because eventually it's going to cut, like, she's going to be in her 40s, but, like, really in her, mid-50s because she stopped.
Same thing for Zach Morris, because Zach Morris is always freezing time,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's the, you know, what do they say? God gives with one hand and takes away with the other hand or something like that?
Yeah.
It's God who does that?
I think so.
Maybe. I don't know. That doesn't seem like the Christian God, but yeah. I don't know. I don't know anything about the Christian God. That's not true. I was raised in a church. Not in a church, but I was raised going to church. Okay. That's all I have for funniest moments. What do you have for... let's start with Friends But Make It Fashion. Okay. I liked Paul's weekend cabin attire. The, like, flowy linen shirt that was kind of like a... cut like a Gayabera type of shirt, but it didn't have, like, the... decorative embroidery, but it was kind of like that kind of shirt. It was I liked it. It looked very comfortable.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I'll tell you what I didn't like. I didn't like Elizabeth's low-cut white jeans. Not just low-cut, but the zipper was like there was a V and then a zipper.
So yeah, it looked like
it was undone.
That's I wrote it down not as something that I liked.
I
but
even
for the
drew
same
a
reason.
Picture of it.
Yeah, yeah, it's. So 2000.
It's, yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, like, we've talked before about how some of the fashions on the show was long enough ago that some of the fashions have come back around.
Yeah.
But yeah, those...
I mean, they have come back around a lot of... But you have to have a certain body type to pull a low-waisted jean off. And even
and
then,
I feel like Alexandra Whatever does, but I just don't like the way they look.
I don't like these jeans, yeah.
What's her name?
Elizabeth?
No, I'm asking, I'm talking about the actress.
Oh, I don't remember her name.
I think it's Alexandra Holdridge.
Okay.
I'm going to look it up and see if I just completely made that name up.
I think you just made it up. Monica lightened her hair. Did you notice that?
I did not.
I also liked Joey's pineapple shirt.
Oh, it was so close. Alexandra Holden.
Okay.
Wait, I haven't finished mine.
Oh, sorry.
Because I have one more.
Okay.
The couple together, I already said I liked Paul's shirt. I love Rachel's aloha shirt.
Hawaiian
like,
shirt?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But it's not... It's the style is the, like, Hawaiian aloha style, but it's not the, like, boxy, flowy, like, you know, big guy shirt. That it's fitting, and she has it open over, like, a tank top, I think, underneath. Yeah. Looked great. Sorry, what did you say about the... You said something else.
Oh, Monica lightened her hair.
And you started to say something else after that, didn't you?
I was talking about Joey's pineapple shirt.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Joey's pineapple shirt, too.
Do you have any other?
That's it for Make It Fashion. What do you have under the umbrella?
Well, before that, I have props to the props department. When Monica comes home and to Chandler, like, hearing the message, she has a bag from Jefferson Market. And with like a big huge baguette sticking out of it, like she was gonna make him dinner. Oh. And we like when they have like New York.
Yeah, actually, I don't know
like,
Jefferson
when they have
Market.
Like Zabar's.
Yeah, we've definitely seen Zabar's. I don't.
Well, there's definitely a Jefferson Market. Yeah, I think she went to the.
Yeah, no, I believe you. I'm just saying I don't know. I'm not a New Yorker.
Me neither. Under the umbrella. Joey loves sandwiches, and then also like mistakes being made on.
Wait, you said Joey loves sandwiches. We didn't talk about that, did we?
No.
That Phoebe, after the guys like back out of the exhibit, yeah. Phoebe claims that it's like
lesbian
erotic lesbian portraits with video games and free sandwiches.
Yeah, and Joey's like, oh, I love sandwiches. But yeah. Mistakes being made over answering machines. This has happened before. And Monica screaming, no! After hearing the message.
Yeah, yeah. Should we take a quick break?
Yeah.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, we're back from our quick break, and we are ready to talk Season 6, Episode 22 of How I Met Your Mother, The Perfect Cocktail. Natalie, why don't you mix it up for us?
Okay.
The Perfect Cocktail?
No, I know. Right. Okay, so Marshall is quitting GNB, and Arthur Hobbs, played by Bob Odenkirk, he's like, oh, okay, well, I'll make sure to give you a good recommendation. But it turns out he did not. So Marshall's applying for other jobs at environmental law firms. Yeah. And when they, you know, call previous employers, Arthur actually is like giving him the worst recommendation, saying like he's a maniac, he's been clubbing seals. He screams like, screw the environment, doesn't recycle. Yeah. He walks in with no pants.
Yeah.
And Marshall tries to tell this like hiring manager, like, none of that's true, but he kicks him out, interview over. And then we're brought back to Zoe, who's still protesting the demolition of the Arcadian. And Marshall, like, down on his luck, is like walking out of the building, and Zoe's like, I have a plan for you. So she's actually going to hire him to be the lawyer to protect the Arcadian. Ted and Zoe are still going out, and everyone's like, how do you manage? Like, you have this like huge thing between you guys.
Yeah.
And they just ignore it completely and just bring up something else and try to avoid that whole conversation. So when Barney finds out that Marshall is the lawyer, he is very upset because he's inviting everyone to the demolition party of the Arcadian.
Yeah.
And now Marshall's going to save it. So now they're like trying to sabotage each other, and it's a all-out war.
And once again, we get a Wile E. Coyote reference.
We do get a Wile E. Coyote reference, yeah. Barney is... I guess ejaculating into everything that Marshall drinks out of.
Is that what you took it to be?
What else could it be?
I thought he was just like putting like Ken Marino dipping his balls in it.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's something gross with Barney's genitals, likely.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, at McLaren's, there's a woman who wants their booth. And so Lily and Robin are getting very, like, territorial over their booth. This woman just, like, keeps walking by and thinking they're leaving. It's very funny.
And
we'll get to that
later. I've been that woman.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I'm good at vulturing.
Yeah. So during this fight, they're actually, like, at the bar fighting, and Carl kicks them out and, like, bans them from the bar.
Yeah, not just Marshall and Barney, bans the whole gang.
And then the girls are like, this is unacceptable. And then the new girl gets to take over their booth, and they're super pissed. So Robin and Lily have to come up with a plan to get them back together. So they're like, let's get them drunk. And then they're trying to decide what the best drink is. And then they're going through the list of what happens when different cocktails are given to different people. Marshall, for example, when he gets gin drunk, or when he did last time at the douchey bar, he tried to get in a fight with himself in a mirror.
His own reflection.
But he also likes the guy in the mirror.
When he drinks daiquiris.
When he drinks daiquiris.
Yeah.
Lily becomes like, wants to make out with Robin. Like,
when she drinks martinis.
When she drinks martinis. Robin hallucinates with absinthe. Marshall with daiquiris, I'm so beautiful. The funniest one is when Barney drinks schnapps. He turns into Richard Dawson from Family Feud.
Yeah.
And he kisses everyone on the mouth. We'll get to that later.
We will get to it later, yeah.
Ted, when he drinks bourbon, he thinks he's good at beatboxing, but only to himself. His beatboxing is really pathetic. Let's see. So in this feud, Ted's like, how did things get so screwed up? And Ted and Zoe are on their way to Martha's Vineyard for the weekend, and he kind of explodes and turns back around. And he's like, okay, you love this place so much, we're going to stay there overnight, and you're going to see how terrible it is.
Yeah, and I feel like that's not... People who are like, what's the word I'm looking for? People who are into saving old stuff. Preservationists.
Yes.
People who are like preservationists.
Don't necessarily need to have a personal connection to it.
No, I'm saying they don't. You're like Jerry State. Yeah. I didn't expect that movie to end underwater, be so long. No. People who are preservationists, their argument isn't like, oh, if this place isn't currently being used to the best of its abilities, then we should go ahead and give up on it. That's right. The opposite of a preservationist. Right. So the fact that the Arcadian is currently like a creepy, like, what do they call them? SRO, like, type of flop house is not going to deter a preservationist. They're going to say, no, we need to, this is what we're trying
this
to say.
This is why we need to.
Yeah, this
preserve.
Is exactly why we need to do that. So, like, Ted's entire argument here is flawed. And it kind of bothered me.
It's also true that you don't have to have a huge, like, personal connection to a building to appreciate its majesty and want to.
Of course.
Preserve it in its historical. So they go and, he says, like, if you can last a night here, will you agree to stop the protest and let us demolish it? And she said, fine. Yeah, it's fine. And she's like, this is a beautiful, magnificent hotel. There's a sex worker in the bathroom.
Yeah.
There's a turd on the pillow.
Yeah, something like that.
And then it gets worse. Let's see. Okay, the girls are still trying to figure out the drink, and they said, like, we need to get them to fight. So they give them whiskey then, and they become, like emotional.
So, yeah, gin is they fight.
Yeah.
Then whiskey is they become emotional.
Yeah.
And by the way, is all of this, are they back at Hopeless? Is this
they're
the same?
They're back at Hopeless. Yeah.
It's the same club.
Yeah. They both have daiquiris and they're both in the mirror.
In love with their reflection.
Yeah. They decide, maybe that we should get them a brandy to share. But it turns out they had tequila shots. And tequila shots caused them to go back to McLaren's. Barney is hitting on a butch woman.
Yeah.
And Marshall is smoking a cigarette.
And eating jalapeno poppers, hiding behind a booth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought those were chicken nuggies.
Oh, maybe they were.
Okay.
I thought they were jalapeno poppers. Friends and mothers, settle it.
Okay.
Nuggies or pop pops?
Yeah.
I'm going to write down nuggies or pop pops, and then next time we.
Or hal pops?
I just like pop pops.
Pop pops, but that's popcorn.
Okay.
Hal pops.
I'm still going to do it. Nuggies and pop pops. And then next week, I'm going to look at this and be like, what the fuck?
So Ted's like just trying to reason with Zoe, like, what is it about this place? And then we find out, like, she has a sweet story about, like, when they came out to New York, her and her mom used to live at the Arcadian. They didn't have a lot of money, but
with her sisters, mom. Yeah.
You know, told her that this is a castle that they were living in, and Zoe believed it and loves it for that reason. Again, you don't need to have lived in a place to, you know, have to want to preserve it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is her story. And Ted is so taken by it that he says, like, I love you to Zoe. And Zoe says, I love you too. And then we get a return of Cockamouse.
The return of the Cockamouse, yeah.
And Cockamouse
has, not the final appearance of the Cockamouse either.
Has babies.
Yeah.
And Ted's like,
family.
Yeah, happy for them.
Yeah.
So he's not. She's like, screw it. Like, we need to get out of here. At McLaren, Carl gives Marshall and Barney some beer, and it acts as a tranquilizer, and they say, I love you, man, and they kind of pass out at the bar.
Which is funny, because Jason Segel was in the movie I Love You, Man.
That's true, yes. And then Lily's so happy that she buys everyone champagne, and that makes them forget about loving each other,
they
wake
everything.
Up pissed off. Ted then is on Zoe's side about the Arcadian.
Yep.
And Lily and Robin are just so fed up by this whole thing, so then they both decide to go on an absinthe trip.
Yeah. Not to be like a buzzkill, but like that's a myth that absinthe is a hallucinogen. It's not.
And all of these are myths that different types of alcohols do different types of things to your body or your moods.
I mean,
none of this is true.
Yeah.
None of it's true.
I don't know. I do think there's something like, I don't know. I do feel like there's something to like tequila hits different, red wine hits different.
It really doesn't. And that's like psychosomatic and socialized.
Yeah, and maybe part of it is socialized.
I used
to
think
it's not true.
I used to think that, but there's nothing like in the chemical.
No, but I'm saying if it's socialized, then it becomes true.
It becomes, okay.
Yeah. What were you saying? You used to think what?
I used to think that soju like made me really happy drunk.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Like it does the same thing all alcohol does.
Yeah. I guess that's true. Did you ever think the liquor before beer, beer before liquor thing?
That's also not true.
It's not true at all.
You just have to drink lots of water between anything. Yeah.
But I think the reason people think that like drinking beer before liquor is more likely to make you sick is that like if you got to a position where you're making that choice, you know?
Yeah.
If you're drinking beer and then you switch to shots,
yeah,
you're drunk.
Yeah.
It's not that it is making you more sick. It's that you got more drunk.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, we're back to the episode?
Sorry. I just got a really funny text message, and I'll share it with you and friends and mothers. So this is a friend who also enjoys wine, and he's like, talk me through corkage fees. I feel like I'm paying for the same bottle twice. And that's exactly what it is, but it's going to be cheaper than buying a new bottle.
Yeah.
That's the answer. But it's true. Like, if you have a bottle that you really like and spend, you know, $30 on it, like we tend to do it when we go to, like, wineries.
Yeah.
And then we pay a $25 corkage fee. We're paying for a $55 bottle of wine. But
which is probably how much it is at the restaurant anyway, because they're all marked up at the restaurant.
That's true.
So you're, yeah, we bought a $30 bottle of wine. But that bottle of wine we didn't buy at the restaurant was probably $55-$60. Sorry, I cut you off.
No, that's just what I was saying. And I'm just answering that question.
There's also some places, I know, the Tam O'Shanter, we usually bring a bottle.
Yeah.
But their thing is if you bring a bottle, there's a $25 corkage fee. But when you're done with that bottle, you buy one of our bottles, we'll waive that corkage fee.
Yeah.
And then one time, they forgot to waive the corkage fee and didn't charge us for the second bottle. So we basically just got a free bottle of wine at the Tam O'Shanter. But we bought their t-shirts. So,
And that's another little trick.
We're big Tam O'Shanter
supporters.
Sometimes
establishments will forget to charge the corkage fee.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really matter at that point. Where was I? The final little tag at the end. They're a McLaren's and it's like an old West showdown for the booth. Like these gals are at the booth, right. And Lily and Robin are trying to like be gunslingers, and they kick them out by showing them what they've done to the booth, which is, I'm assuming, also so something as disgusting as Barney.
Do you think they got Barney to put his balls on the booth, or do you think they
rubbed
their
genitals
on the booth?
Maybe. Maybe they rubbed their genitals on the booth.
Yeah. But then they come out and clean it.
Yeah.
Only strabsivation I had that we didn't get to is that for each round of the boys drinking, we get like a little title card, like gin, you know, daiquiri, beer, tequila. The whiskey one, weirdly, is the not American spelling of whiskey. It's W-H-I-S-K-Y.
Yeah.
In America, whiskey is spelled with an E-Y. It's an intentional choice. Do you think it's like a nod to Robin's Canadian-ness? Because in Canada, whiskey is just Y.
Maybe.
But in America, it's E-Y. I used to think, because there is like a handy, like, I was always told, I always thought.
It was debunked.
I know, it's been debunked. But I always was told that like, if the name of the country has an E in it, than whiskey has needed. So America, Ireland,
Scotland.
Well, that's so America, Ireland, England. These all have E's. Canada, Scotland, Japan, no E.
Yeah.
But then we went down a rabbit hole and got when you get to more like when you get to like Wales spells it with no E, even though there is obviously an E in Wales. Mm-hmm. And I think we found some other like weird ones like. I don't know. I can't remember what else. But
we enlisted the help of like a bartender who was checking all of his bottles. Like a mixologist who was
pulling out every bottle. And like for a while it was holding true. And then I think Wales was the one he was like,
Yeah.
So I just wanted to point out that it was the very conspicuous to me non-American spelling of whiskey.
Yeah.
Maybe they were drinking Canadian whiskey.
Yeah, maybe. If Robin had anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Funniest moments? Yeah, what do you got?
So the whole storyline about the like being territorial over the booth was really, really funny.
Yes.
So basically all of mine are that. When Robin says, I hope this drink isn't teething because she's going to get nursed.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope this drink isn't teething because it's about to get nursed. That's what I wrote. Yeah, so you took one of mine. So I don't have as many, but there's a really funny thing that has, apropos of nothing, when we get Robin's like flashback to drinking absinthe, the rest of the gang are all sitting on the stoop in like basketball clothes, and Marshall like has a basketball, and Marshall's like, I don't know, we could have water, soda, purple stuff.
Yeah, that was also in mine.
Sunny Delight
commercial
from the 90s being referenced.
Because this is the age group of people who grew up with that commercial.
Yeah.
But
I, like, is it... It's but that's Robin remembering it that way? I don't know.
I think so, yeah. They're gonna stick around Lionel Richie style, which is, of course, all night long.
Yeah. It's my turn now.
Oh.
We go back and forth. Barney dressing as Richard Dawson and kissing all the women, like, because they, well, that I kind of gave away the joke because they say he turns into Richard Dawson, meaning he kisses all the women. But we cut to him and he's wearing the like boutonniere and colorful tie, so he's not only acting like Richard Dawson, he is dressed
and
like
Richard Dawson. And he's also calling out order, show me chicken wings. And then everyone at the table is like, good answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was in my notes.
Yeah, yeah, because when the chicken wings are ready, it's the like ding sound. Yeah. Yeah. All right, I've only got one more.
Me too.
But you go first.
When Robin says, I'll have a mojito, and this one will have no seat, ho.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, so when we see Ted's idea of himself beatboxing, right?
Yeah.
That's not, obviously that's not Josh Radner beatboxing. That is someone named Chase Stockman doing the beatboxing.
Oh, okay.
But then when we see how it really goes, it actually is Josh Radner, and it's very, very funny. Mm-hmm. He's making like... He starts making like bad beatboxing sounds, but then he's just like making noises that have nothing to do with anything, and then he walks away.
Yeah.
And he gets denied a high five by Barney, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
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 To get denied a high five by Barney. That's all I had.
Okay.
I have nothing for Make It Fashion.
Me neither. Yeah,
not a fashionable episode.
Mm-mm.
What's under the umbrella? I'll start on this. Barney calls Teddy Westside. Or Barney calls Teddy Westside.
He does.
Carl comes back. Even like I said, Wendy's gone, but Carl still is the bartender there. I feel like Lily crushing on Robin is a thing that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
The cockamouse, obviously you mentioned, and, smoking cigarettes when drunk. That's a reference to was it earlier this season or last season? The whole smoking, episode.
Yeah.
Marshall not only sneaking a cigarette, but sneaking one indoors.
Inside,
You don't do that in... You certainly do that in New York City. You don't do that, like, anywhere in the country now.
Yeah.
What's this place? Fucking nanny state. What is this country becoming?
All right.
You gotta wear your seatbelt.
Everyone gets a trophy. high fives. Marshall loving pancakes.
Oh, right. Yeah. Because what is... Well, what is the joke? I can't remember what Barney says.
So Lily and Robin are like, we brought coffee and breakfast, like hoping that they'll be friends again.
Yeah.
And...
yeah, what does Barney say?
I don't remember what Barney says, but Marshall's like, I want some pancakes, because... I just really like pancakes. Yeah. Like, we think it's going to be some, like...
But Barney says something like, I hope you brought something.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was about this jerk.
Also, Marshall quitting his job. He's done this before. Also, Robin's sad. She keeps bringing up, like, her parents, like, fucked up relationship.
Yeah. That, like... her dad had a mistress, but yeah. Also maybe they were like a throuple.
Yeah, and they were always drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Friends and mothers, let us know your perfect cocktail.
Yeah. What's your perfect cocktail?
And if you do believe that different liquors cause different reactions.
You know what my go-to at-home cocktail is?
Whiskey and ginger?
It is. When it's in stock, Kirkland Bourbon. Otherwise, Jim Beam, because the Kirkland Bourbon comes and goes. But Pacoima has had it recently. Mm. But Kirkland Bourbon or Jim Beam. Dash of lemon juice from the little lemon-shaped thing. And zero sugar Canada Dry ginger ale. And I make a double, and I put it in a Simpsons tumbler from when they turned... that 7-Eleven on Pico into the Quickie Mart.
Also the one in Burbank. That's the one I went to.
Oh, okay.
So I think there were like half a dozen in LA.
I didn't realize there was one in Burbank. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, you got that cup.
That's the one I went to.
Yeah. That's my go-to, like, because I make it a double because Natalie goes to bed a little before I do, and I will like kick up my feet and watch a movie.
That's where the party starts.
While drinking a tall, like, double cocktail.
I don't know. I get grossed out because that used to be like the bathroom cup.
The Simpsons cup?
Yeah.
No, it never did. No.
Okay.
The Hadley's.
Okay.
Hadley Fruit Orchard cup has been the bathroom cup. Before that, it was the Bacchus cup from Mardi Gras.
I guess I just think the Simpsons cup is a bathroom cup.
But it's not. It's my cocktail cup.
No, I don't like it. I think you should have, like... you're an adult. You could have, like, a fun... we have lots of, like, fun cocktail glasses.
But the point is... that's what I used to do. But the point is...
you want more.
I don't want to have to get up and make another drink. So I want to basically have two drinks at once so I can sip it throughout the movie.
Real fancy.
Yeah, like Charlie XCX.
Real classy.
I'm so fancy. All right, I'm moving on to similarities.
Yeah.
There's a big one. Romantic Weekends Away.
Okay, yeah. So I had that one.
Oh, okay.
Also, son of a bitch. That was on Joey's headshot.
Yeah.
In the laundromat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fighting for a booth or a area of an establishment. Red wine.
But these are not specific. The last two are not specific to this episode. Yeah. I feel like we have to call that out. Because I don't know... I think a lot of people are probably listening to this podcast without having recently watched the episode.
Okay. So the trip out of town, definitely. Also, the idea of, like, vermin being in a place. So, like, the cockamouse is actually there, but Rachel thinks that Ross... or Rachel says, like, oh, it must have been a mouse under the couch, and it's Ross...
Yeah, she sees Ross and reacts, and then Paul asks her if she saw a mouse, and she says, no, I saw a bear. Can you go outside and investigate?
Yes.
And he says, we don't have bears up
here. Also,
tapirs.
Red wine. Rachel's drinking it at the cabin, and then it gives Barney clarity when he drinks red wine.
and he realizes he's a B+.
Yeah. Tragic childhood memories. Phoebe all the time, and Robin... sometimes.
Yeah.
Also, this was so weird when Paul, I'm going back to friends that I forgot to mention, but at one point, like, Rachel tries to get him to leave the room and she asks for a Diet Coke and he brings her just like a flat Diet Coke in a glass. And she's like, obviously enticing. Like, can I have some ice? But who brings just like, I don't know.
Yeah. Speaking of ice and Diet Coke, have I told my Dwight Yoakam story on the podcast? When I briefly worked at the Arclight, RIP, back in 2007, and celebrities used to come to the Arclight a lot. And Dwight Yoakam came into the Arclight, which is a big deal to me, because I love Dwight Yoakam.
Yeah.
As a musician and as an actor.
Yeah.
And yeah, he ordered a Diet Coke with extra ice, and like I filled up the ice, and he kind of leaned over the counter and looked in the cup, and he was like, a little more ice.
It wasn't good enough.
He likes a lot of ice
because
in his Diet
Coke.
Because
you like so little, so you
maybe,
probably
yeah.
under...
Yeah. That was... Yeah, I saw so many celebrities... There was only one, because I was like, there's so many celebrities coming up here. Like, I didn't say anything to, like, hey, you're Dwight Yoakam. There is one celebrity who came into the Arclight while I was working concessions that I had to say, I'm a big fan. This thing you did meant a lot to me as a kid. Who do you think? You got any guesses?
No.
LeVar Burton.
Oh, yeah. That's
because of Reading Rainbow.
That's a great one. I love
Yeah, I shook his hand, thanked him for Reading Rainbow. He was very nice. And then he went to see The Last Mimsy, a forgotten movie.
He has a podcast.
Oh, cool.
He like does like story time.
Yeah.
I think it's like LeVar Burton reads to you or something.
Yeah.
Very soothing.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we do some other bullshit?
Well, we
have to play favorites.
We have to play favorites.
Okay.
Once again, I'm putting it off because these are both... I feel like these are both good episodes. All right.
3, 2, 1, friends.
Yeah. I mean, this...
It wasn't as funny.
No, but
I did like the ending.
The ending
sweet.
Is great.
Yeah.
And, again, like I talked about last week with, like, remembering this... These other sides of Bruce Willis, you know?
Yeah.
Like, him in the mirror. It's so funny.
It is funny.
And it's so not the, like... stoic action figure, mm-hmm. Action hero, you know, that he was. So that's a big part of it. But yeah, I mean, the How I Met Your Mother was funny. Maybe the like different drinks making people do different things thing was maybe a little sweaty,
mm-hmm.
but I still mostly liked where its head was at.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe I was too put off by the misrepresenting what preservationists care about.
Yeah.
Not that I like think of I'm not obviously not a preservationist, but I listen to like the You Can't Eat the Sunshine podcast, which is done by the people who do the esoteric tours.
Yeah, I get their emails
here in Los Angeles. And preservationists are a fascinating bunch because they just wake up every morning and choose to get angry about things.
Yeah,
but I guess a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
All right, so. Next segment.
And sometimes,
oh, go ahead.
Like, relics of the past should be forgotten. We don't have to get into that whole thing.
Like what?
But just like, like Civil War statue, you know, like things that are like actually offensive. We've talked about it before at like Pierce College.
Because I'm of the opinion that those things need to be properly contextualized, not melted down and destroyed. Because it's still, a statue is still a work of art. And I don't like to see art destroyed for, like, moral reasons. Even if I think they're right, it's just a slippery slope I don't like to go down. But yeah, I would like to see those, I like to see those moved out of public parks and stuff into, like, some sort of museum or some place where they can be properly contextualized within history. So you can learn from them, not try and, like, melt down history and forget that it happened.
Right.
That's my hot take on Confederate statues and other such things.
Yes.
That's my take. Okay. Let's catch up on our correspondence,
Ooh.
Of which we have some. Let's see. Jackson sent us another email after last week. Jackson says, a weak defense of Ross, Ted, Barney, Robin, and Rachel.
Okay.
Oh, this is from the episode. Wait, which episode? is he referring to? Jackson says, being single when you're not wired that way sucks. I don't endorse any action these characters take in this story, but I understand everyone loses their minds when they have nobody. I love them. I love me. I pray for wisdom and kindness, and I pray to never repeat their mistakes. So, I guess this is just about people acting crazy when they're... Oh, yeah, because Rachel was looking for a date, and Robin was like... I don't know. These things fall out of my head so quickly.
Yeah.
But thank you for that,
yes.
Jackson. We also have some tweets, or whatever people are calling them now. So Jenny, we haven't heard from our friend Jenny in a long time, or our listener, our friend and mother Jenny. But she says, I'm loving all the astrology slander on the most recent podcast. Uh-oh. I dislike pseudoscience as a rule, and I'm shocked by how many people take it seriously.
Okay.
Thank you, Jenny.
Okay.
Kindred spirits. And then she says, oh, and I'm 29, so you do have under 35 listeners.
Wow.
So yeah, we have some listeners in their 20s. That seems to be the lowest. Alex says four seasons. We were talking about the four seasons.
Yeah,
we were talking
about Fuck, Marry, Kill, four seasons.
Yeah, we were talking about like Frankie Valli and
the hotel.
At first I talked about Vivaldi, Frankie Valli, and the hotel, and then you brought up Four Seasons Landscaping. But then he says Four Seasons Landscaping probably has a lot of podcast references. I typed that before you mentioned it. So he was like in the middle of drafting the tweet while he mentioned it. And then Alex also correctly pointed out that when we were talking about Cheese and Cheese's creator like making him for creepy reasons, I said that Andrew created the robot on Buffy. It was Warren. Andrew couldn't really do anything.
Right.
Andrew's older brother summoned the demons that attacked the prom.
Right.
Andrew was just, I don't know. And Alex says he's 35, 37.
Okay.
So, I think that's all our correspondence.
We have a new review.
Is that real?
No, it's me.
It's you. Okay.
I tried to test out to see if it worked.
Okay.
And so I just wrote, great pod. This is a great pod.
But
and then
you put...
No, it wanted to know like the username. So I wrote JK as in just kidding. And it said this username is already taken. And then I wrote JK Nails, which is our nail salon that we
Which is where
to.
We both get manicures. Yeah.
So JK Nails says this is a great pod.
Yeah. How come we've never gone and gotten like a mani-pedi together? Why do we only go separately?
Because we go at different times.
Yeah. Yeah. But I see couples doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should do that.
Okay.
But this is our, the nail place we both go to now. Not the one you used to go to in North Hollywood where you saw Felicity Huffman.
Yes. Like right
post
after.
Post-Varsity Blues.
Yes.
Like, scandal.
Right. Okay. But also, so now that I know that this works, it just takes a few days. So write reviews on your podcast.
Yeah.
Your
Change your username to your nail salon.
Yes. And write us a review. After giving us 5 stars.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to my favorite segment to introduce. It's called How Were We Doing? And this is where we look at what was happening in the world on the days these episodes aired. Friends, season 6, episode 22, which again is called... I've forgotten what it's called. The one where Paul's the man. The one where Paul's the Man aired on Thursday, May 4th. 2000. So this is something that I am of the age that I should remember, but I was a Luddite who was mostly slow to adopt the internet.
Mm-hmm.
For most of college, I checked my email like once a month, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so in this one had been when I was still like right at the end of my high school. So I have no memory of this. But the I Love You computer virus, originated in the Philippines, spread around the world starting on May 4th, 2000. So this was a computer virus that was written. I read the whole story. Written by a guy in the Philippines. His idea, as kind of like an activist, was to write this virus to steal passwords because he didn't think people should have to like pay for internet access. But the virus got way out of hand, became it caused billions and billions of dollars of damage, because it got onto people's computers when they opened the attachment, because it was a, so I was reading about it, it was a VBS attachment,
okay,
virtual basic, I can't remember, something basic, but Microsoft Office at the time, when you got an email, it would cut off after the last period, so the guy ended it .txt.vbs, so it would cut off the VBS, and people thought it was just a text file, which wouldn't be a virus. Mm-hmm. So people opened it, it like copied itself to all of their contacts, sent itself to all their contacts, it spread all over the world immediately, caused millions of dollars in damage in deleted files. The crazy part is that the guy who did it in the Philippines faced no legal repercussions, because the Philippines didn't at the time have a law against this. Wow. They hadn't thought, they passed a law because of this, but laws aren't enforced retroactively.
Yeah.
So the guy like got off scot-free, and like 20 years later he was like working at like a computer repair store or something. Crazy story. But that happened on May the 4th. We weren't saying May the 4th be with you yet. Mm-hmm. I wish we'd never started. Top five songs in the U.S. on that day, if you'd like to know, Natalie.
Yes.
And number five, Destiny's Child, Say My Name. This is like the same as last week. And number four, Cisco, Thong Song. And number three, Faith Hill, I Can Feel You Breathe.
What?
And number two, Toni Braxton, He Wasn't Man Enough. And number one, Santana, Maria, Maria. No, I just feel weird because I've said that I only sing the songs that I like. I just read five songs and I only sang the one song that's by a white person.
Yeah.
So I feel like a racist.
Yeah.
But just because I don't like Destiny's Child, Cisco, or Santana.
You also want to preserve Confederate statues.
I don't.
You're not convincing anyone.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Season 6, episode 22 of How I Met Your Mother, The Perfect Cocktail, aired on Monday, May 2nd, 2011. May the 2nd be with you. And this was the day that Osama bin Laden was killed.
Wow, yeah.
So, yeah. I think it might have been May 2nd in... Where was he killed? Pakistan?
I don't know.
It might have still been the first in the U.S. when it happened. But anyway, you and I were watching TV and it got like preempted.
Yeah.
Just so weird.
Yeah.
To think we were watching like live TV and it got preempted. So that's such a relic.
Yeah.
I remember feeling kind of grossed out by how a lot of people...
Really like celebrating it?
Yeah, I mean, I understand, like, he was, like, the architect of something that killed thousands of Americans, but I guess I don't believe in retribution. I certainly don't believe in murder as retribution.
Right.
You know, I'm against the death penalty.
Yes.
So, like, the idea, no matter who it is, the idea of, like, dancing in the streets because someone got killed...
Right.
Doesn't sit with me. And maybe that makes me like a soft weakling or something.
No, I feel the same way. I don't.
Yeah.
It's not weak. I think it's weird and barbaric that anyone would celebrate a death.
Yeah. So that's what I remember. But the other thing I remember is...
You can be relieved. Like, you can be... Like,
well, yeah. I mean, there are people...
Yeah.
We've talked about this on Battleship Retention, actually. Like, there are people... who are in positions where they're actively doing harm.
Yes.
Let's say Vladimir Putin. I'll steer away from any American politicians and say Vladimir Putin, right? The world would probably be, would almost certainly be a better place if Vladimir Putin died in his sleep tonight.
Right.
I still don't think I'd like dance about it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
He can't do harm anymore, and that's a good thing. But it's weird to, like, dance in the street because someone died.
Yeah. If someone terrible dies of natural causes, it's kind of a breath of fresh.
Yeah. But I also mean, this,
but yeah,
this
but
puts me out of step with a lot of my like progressive friends who like, or not, or my internet cohort who like openly celebrate like when Henry Kissinger died or whatever, you know, and like I get it, but it's also, it's kind of ghoulish.
But murdering someone is a different story, I think, is the
okay
the difference.
I mean, it's all people dying and I don't want to celebrate anyone yeah. anyone dying personally.
Yeah,
I'm like, yeah, I mean, I will shed nary a tear for Henry Kissinger ever.
Of course not. Yeah.
But it also just feels kind of gross to like celebrate someone dying. Yeah. I don't know. That's just me.
I don't know. I think
hopefully, like, I mean, it does feel like it is just me.
I really. Would probably be with the people celebrating Reagan's death, you know, in certain communities.
I don't know. By the time he died, he was just like a.
But he did so much harm.
Yeah.
And
I
it
hate
was
him.
It was like a symbolic kind of celebration, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the harm that Reagan did to California and to the U.S. in general continues, and he's one of the most dangerous presidents.
Yeah, absolutely.
We ever had. So I'm not happy. I wasn't sad when he died.
Yeah.
But I also wasn't just publicly celebrating either. That's, I don't know. Maybe I'm old-fashioned. Top five songs in the U.S. on that day. At number five, Jeremy, Down On Me. At number four, Rihanna, S&M. At number three, The Black Eyed Peas, Just Can't Get Enough. Making its debut, or at least for our purposes, making its debut at number two, We Could Have Had It All, Rolling in the Deep, You Had Your Heart Inside Your Hand. Yeah, Adele, Rolling in the Deep. We love it. And number one, Katy Perry, E.T. Hanging in there at number one. Let's see. That's headlines. The final segment of our show is called, my head is gone. It's called Challenge Accepted. This is where we try to predict what's going to happen next week on both episodes of the show with only the episode's title to guide us. But let's see how we did last week. I was way off. You were off. But not way off.
Neither of us got it.
I said, much to Ross's chagrin, Joey and Chandler befriend John McClane. But yeah, you're right. That was too close to them befriending Magnum P.I. you said the gang infer entire personalities based on cocktail orders. That is much closer to what happened.
That is closer, but not close enough.
It's not close enough. So I'm going to look up the titles of next week's episodes, but I'm going to need you to vamp for a minute.
Cherry vanilla sparkling water. Red organic juice blend. Black garlic cream cheese. Double cream brie. Double cream gouda. Buffalo chicken poppers. Calamansi and mango sorbet.
Okay, so I was wrong last week when I said that the one with the ring was from Jon Favreau. This is called The One with the Ring. Season 6, episode 23. Let me triple check that I have that right. Yes, it's called The One with the Ring. So obviously, Chandler is planning to propose, so he's got to get a ring. I'm going to say that Chandler doesn't trust himself to get the right ring. So I'm going to say Chandler enlists the help of Phoebes and Rach and Rach to go ring shopping.
Okay.
That's what it is. Okay. Season 6, episode 23 of How I Met Your Mother is called Landmarks.
Okay. Landmarks. Okay. So, this is going to be about New York City landmarks.
I feel like I want to help you a little bit here.
You can. If it's like referencing something I should already know that I forgot.
Think about how a preservationist might go about trying to save a building. Oh,
okay. So this is how Marshall is helping them. So he's going to get the Arcadian to have a historical designation to become a landmark.
Okay. Marshall tries to get the Arcadian landmarked.
Yeah.
All right.
Locked in.
Locked in. I feel pretty good about... I'm 2 points ahead of you this season.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, I'll probably be 1 point ahead of you.
But you fed it to me with a...
Yeah, because I know I'm 2 points ahead of you, and I can still win this thing. So that's it. That's the episode. We talked about everything. You can find this podcast wherever you found it. You've already proven yourself adept at that task. But there's also a post for every episode at BattleshipPretension.com, which is the home of my other podcast, Battleship Pretension, which is about movies. You can leave a comment there, or you can email us like Jackson did at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com, or you can hit me up on Twitter like Jenny and Alex did at Davey Pretension. I'm also on Blue Sky at Davey Pretension. And... yeah, that's it for me. Natalie, where do you want people to find you?
I don't, as you know, but also if you want to review us like user JK Nails did, you can do so in your podcast app of choice.
I'm just trying to imagine a future where like the owner of JK Nails tries to start like an iTunes account and is like, oh man.
Let us know your cocktail of choice. Let us know if it makes you act a certain way or behave differently. We had another one, didn't we?
Oh yeah, hold on.
What is the show from the 80s that people turned into liquid?
Liquid, yeah. What's a perfect cocktail? Is Doghouse a nationwide chain? That's something I could easily look up.
Right.
Also, Nuggies or Pop Pops? I'm like already forgetting what that was.
Chicken Nuggies or Hell Pops? give us 5 stars, why don't you? Or let us know why we don't deserve that many stars. And until next time, we'll see you at the Lesbian Sandwich Museum.